If you've been with me for the last, well, since the beginning of the year, you know we've been using this phrase, position yourself. That's really been our series, the theme of this year that God has set in our hearts, position yourself. This is a year of getting ourselves in the right place, in the right mindset, in the right heart, in the right posture to receive what God has for us. And so we've talked about that in a number of different levels. We talked about the importance of positioning ourselves in the Word of God, and we challenged one another to become students of the Word, to study it, to read it, to memorize it, to meditate on it, knowing that the written Word is the best expression that we have of the living Word, and it's how God speaks to us about Himself and who He is and His will for our life. And so many of us want to know, God, what is your will for my life? Open the pages of the book. Get into the Word. Position yourself in the Word of God. Then Caleb did a wonderful job talking about positioning us in prayer, how important it is to get in that posture of prayer. And the posture of prayer isn't talking about our physical posture. It's not whether we're in a closet or at an altar or whether we're kneeling or whether we're standing, but that it's our heart is open before the Lord and we're communicating with the Father. And again, I just remind you of that statement that just continually reverberates in my spirit as a challenge to us of the importance of prayer is that statement that God will not do apart from prayer that which He has ordained to do through prayer. So important that God's wanting to do stuff. There are things that God truly wants to do on the earth, but He's looking for somebody who will partner with, somebody that will pray, somebody that through the authority that we've been given as man will begin to release into the heavenlies for God to begin to move in the earthly realm. And so it's so important for us to position ourselves in prayer. We talked about, JD and I talked about positioning ourselves in worship. The importance of really worshiping God, not just singing. That we said that music isn't worship. It can be, it can lead to worship, but there's something far deeper than that. It's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, getting beyond the physical level of our human body and our soul and our fleshly nature, and really connecting with God on a spirit level. How important that is. And then last week, those of you who are with us, you know that John and Carol Arnott were here, and they're just, you know, carriers of revival. And so what a wonderful meeting that we had last week with them, and just positioning ourselves, just crying out to God, just saying, okay, Lord, you just have your way in my life. Some of you saw me. I just kind of positioned myself right over there for about 30 minutes. It was a great nap. I really enjoyed it. Somebody needs to tell me what the sermon was about. No, it was just great. But sometimes we just have to just yield ourselves and just position, get in that place where God can just work in our lives. Today I want to continue this thought, and the title of my message today is that we need to position ourselves through faith. It is through faith that the element of faith, the importance of exercising our faith in God. That we have to be men and women of faith. That our whole Christian experience is we walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. That there are things that you will not see it until you see it. I remember when Harley Hunter, who is one of our members, I guess Harley's probably attended Spirit Life Church for 60 plus years. I think he was a boy, and now he's more than a boy. He's a grandfather. I'll just leave it at that. And I heard him say it the first time. You got to see it before you're going to see it. What? Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. What was he saying? He was talking about faith. He said, in other words, you have to see it through the eye of faith. You got to see it at a spirit level before you're ever going to see it on a natural level. But when you can begin to see it by faith, when you can begin to believe what God has said is real, and you can lock into that, and you can begin to pray into that and put your faith into that, it begins to open up the door for it to begin to manifest in our lives. Faith is so important. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For And then it goes on to say that it's by faith that we believe that, that God even exists. And then secondly, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'm just going to kind of change the wording there without doing it any injustice, that he's a rewarder of those who position themselves by faith to receive from him. Can you get that with me? That he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, positioning himself. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. We were just singing that. And thank you, Aline and the worship team, for leading us. And several of the songs that if you picked up, I heard this cry of desperation, this hunger, this thirsting, this I've got to have it, God, in the songs that we were singing. And you're going to see in just a moment just how well that lines up with what the Lord had been laying on my heart to share with you today. This importance of really walking out this faith walk and positioning ourselves by faith. I believe that the Lord's wanting to do some things in this hour. I believe that even as, you know, talking about this generation that we were just singing about, I believe that God is raising up a generation that he's going to use and bring revival to not just our city, not just to our nation, but revival around the world, bringing in a harvest that's going to prepare for the second coming of the Lord. I'm believing for that. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap for that, because it's going to be his doing. And so by faith, we press into that, but I don't want to get left behind. I know that there's a series Left Behind, but I don't want to be left out. Let me put it that way. I don't want to get left out. I don't want God to be working over there somewhere, and I miss out on what God's wanting to do right here in my life, right here in this church. How many of you believe God wants to use Spirit Life Church to reach our community, to reach our city? And so we've got a position, we've got to have that faith that cries out. I've had prophetic words that we've read, and people have talked about dreams, and maybe some in this room, you've had those kind of moments where you saw this house filled with people knocking on the doors wanting to get inside. I mean, I've had those kind of people share, those kind of dreams shared, and what is that? That is seeing it before you see it. And that's beginning to believe on it and lock in it on faith and say, God, I am hungry and I am thirsty and I do want you to move. And I'm not going to just take it for granted that it's going to happen automatically. Lord, I'm going to position myself through faith to receive what you have for me and for this generation. Well, to share what I really want to go into this morning, I want us to go to the story in Mark chapter 5, that we find this woman, we call her the woman with the issue of blood, in Mark chapter 5, and we see some things as she responds to her circumstances, and faith rises up, and how God ministers to her need. And there's several things about her faith that I want us to look at together in the time that we have. Mark chapter 5, let's read starting at verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, aren't you glad somebody told her about Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Aren't you so glad you're telling other people about Jesus? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith. Somebody say, your faith. Not the faith of Jesus. He didn't say, my faith. He didn't say, my faith. What did he say? He said, your faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Well, in a lot of ways, I would suggest that this woman is just like you and me. Just an ordinary person with hopes and ambitions and desires and dreams, and she had plans for her life, and she'd been working hard to get there. And then came that day that changed everything. How many of you know that sometimes there's a day in our life that changes everything? Some of you have had those days in your life where you were on a course, you were pressing forward, you were doing what you wanted to do, and then all of a sudden, bam, you ran into a wall, you ran into a situation, you ran into a condition, you ran into something that all of a sudden it sidelined you and it began to move your life in a direction that you never wanted it to go. And that's the place that this woman finds herself. She's got this disease that she has, this blood flowing, this issue of blood, the scripture calls it. We don't really understand, we don't really know what the technical disease might have been, but whatever it was, it had impacted her life. She had gone to every doctor that she knew to go to. She had, went to every doctor her friend said that you'd need to go to. She had searched on the internet and found the doctors to go to. Okay, maybe I made that up. But she probably would have if she'd have been here today. She was desperate. She was doing everything she knew to do to get a solution to her problem. And was none better, but grew worse. I want us to look at this woman today because I think there's some things about her faith and what she did that we can learn from. And there's a couple things that I want to say about her faith. The first thing that I want to say about her faith is that her faith was a desperate faith. I told you it was all going to kind of tie together. We were just talking about crying out in desperation as we were singing. Desperation. This woman was desperate. Desperate. It means you're at the end of the rope. It means that all hope is lost. It means if this last thing doesn't work, that there is no plan C, D, E. I mean, she's been through plan A, B, C, D, E. She's all the way to Z. She's desperate. If this doesn't work, if God doesn't heal her, the doctors haven't been able to help her. No medicine has been able to help her. The quacks haven't been able to help her. The common medicines of that day, the herbs and the roots and the every, I mean, she had tried it all and was none better, but only grew worse. Man had failed her. How many of you know that sometimes man will fail us? Some of you have been failed by man. You've been disappointed. Maybe you've been hurt by man and felt like, well, I never put my faith and trust in man again. I'm not asking you to put your faith and trust in man, but here's what she figured out. I can put my faith and trust in God. And God is faithful. And God's not going to fail me. And God's not going to let me down. And so she had heard about this man named Jesus. She had heard that some people suggested that perhaps he was the Messiah. But what she had heard that she knew was true was all of these reports that people had been healed by him. And so she's like, if there's hope at all, I just believe that if I can get to where he's at, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that I can be made whole. She was desperate. She wasn't going to wait for him to come to her city. She was going to where he was. Come on, quit waiting for God to show up where you are and start pursuing God. Start pursuing God. Start pursuing his plan, his will. Go after him. She went after him. She finally finds where he's at. And think about it. I mean, here's a woman who is emaciated from this 12 years of condition. She's probably weak and anemic. She doesn't have much strength. It was probably all she could do to make the journey to get where she was. She was weakened and tired. But there's Jesus. But there's a crowd all around him. And she determined, I'm desperate. I've got to touch Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way. She was desperate. Some of you know what it is to be desperate. Some of you are in a situation in your life right now to where if God doesn't do it, it's just not going to happen. I want to give you hope this morning. You can put your faith in the Lord. You can position yourself. You can do whatever it's going to take for you to get to that. That woman did what it was going to take to get where she needed to be, to get what she needed to get. And I think we need a bit more desperation, if I just be honest with you. I think, and I know this ain't going to get a whole lot of amens, but I'll say it anyhow. I think a lot of us in church today, we've lost our sense of desperation for God. We've kind of fallen into a, well, if God moves, fine. If God doesn't move, okay, I still came to church, you know, check. No, desperate. Again, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, hunger and thirsting. I want it. I need it. I've got to have it, God. You know, we hear the stories of folks who go on missions trips. We've just had some of our folks, some of our new church members. Just got back from a missions trip to Lebanon, I think it was, right? Lebanon. And they probably could tell you stories of miracles that they saw happen. And you're like, why did it happen in Lebanon? And it doesn't happen here in the United States. Why does it happen in Africa? Why does it happen in South America? And we don't really see it as much. It's because those people are desperate. They're desperate. They don't have anywhere else to turn. They don't have a doctor or a medicine that's going to cure them. They don't have a safety net that's going to take care of them. It's like, it's up to you. And if you don't make it, you know, I'm so sorry. They're desperate. Lord, make us desperate. Make us desperate. I remember days. I've been around the church for a while. I grew up in the church. I'm 60 years old now. I've been around a little bit. And I remember the days where, you know, the prayer lasted longer than the preaching. Not because the preaching was so short. The preaching was a lot longer back then than it is today. But the praying was a lot longer than it is today. Because people were desperate. People were crying out to God. And you see them in the altars. An hour would go by. 2 hours would go by. It's 10 o'clock at night, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's midnight at night, and people are still pressing in, and they're crying out. And they're saying, God, save my lost son. God, save my mom, my dad. God, save my neighbor. God, save my brother, my sister. They're crying out in desperation. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I need the power of the Lord in my life. God, sanctify me and make me holy so I can be like you. God, work a miracle of healing in my life. God, move in our church, move in our city, move in our nation, move in this land. There was a desperate cry. Lord, cause us to be desperate again, like this woman was. She was desperate. I'm reminded of Jacob, the story of Jacob in the Old Testament, when he was on his way back to meet his brother Esau, and he encountered what some people would suggest was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, an angel of the Lord who met him, and he wrestled with that angel all night long, and daybreak is coming, and the angel of the Lord says, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let go until you bless me. I've wrestled all night long. I'm not quitting now. I'm not giving up now. I'm desperate. I need the hand of God in my life. This woman had a cry of desperation. I'm just gonna lay it out there. If you've got a nonchalant attitude toward God, he's gonna have a nonchalant attitude toward you. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll have a desperate heart for God, a cry for God, I've got to have it, God. I got to have you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. If you'll have that kind of desperation, you'll get the ear of God, and he'll respond. She positioned herself with a desperate faith that secondly gave rise to a determined faith. A determined faith. She was determined. Nothing was going to get in her way. Nothing was going to stop her. She wasn't going to let her disease, her weakness, she wasn't going to let that stop her. She wasn't going to let the Old Testament law and the religious people stop her. I was sharing with you earlier that I've been reading, I'm in my Bible, I'm in the book of Leviticus right now, and you know, you got all those laws, and there was laws that covered a woman who had a condition like hers, along with a lot of other laws. And basically said that anything she touched was unclean, and anybody that touched her was unclean. So guess how many people touched her? Not very many. She didn't get hugs. She didn't get affirmation. She got the stiff arm. She got the stay away from me. I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you to come close to me because you'll defile me and you'll make me unclean and then I can't go to the temple and worship. And she couldn't be. She hadn't been to the temple to worship in 12 years with this condition. She couldn't. It was prohibited. And she could have used that as an excuse, but she wasn't going to use an excuse. She was determined. I'm going to get to where Jesus is, no matter what it costs me. And when I get there, I'm not going to sit on the back row and kind of be a spectator and see how it's going along. I'm not going to test the waters. No, she says, I am going to get as close to him as I can. I'm going to get close enough to touch his garments, to touch his clothes, because I know, I believe. She had a determined faith inside of her that if I can get to that position, to that place, then I can get my need met. You know, the Bible's filled with all kinds of examples of people with differing levels of faith, differing levels of determination. I'm reminded of the guy who's at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes walking along one day and says, "Would you like to be healed?" I mean, he's been laying there for years. You think his answer would be, "Yes, I want to be healed." Instead, he began to complain. He began to make excuses. He began to say, "Well, you know, there was a time when I thought maybe I'd get healed, but then the angel comes, he stirs the water, and by the time I drag myself over there, somebody's already beat me to it. Nobody's willing to help me out. Nobody will come and sit by me and hold my hand and get me into the water. You know, it ain't even my fault that I'm in this situation. It's somebody else's fault." That's what he was saying. "I'm not taking responsibility. I didn't put this sickness on me, and nobody's helping me. So it's not my fault if I stay the way I am. I guess I'll just stay the way I am." Aren't you glad that Jesus wanted to heal him that day? Even if he'd lost his faith, even if he'd lost his hope, even if his heart deferred the sadness that was keeping him from... Listen, don't let people get in your way. Don't let religion get in your way. Don't make excuses and it's somebody else's fault. Then there's other people who had great levels of faith. They were determined. I'm reminded of blind Bartimaeus. He's at the edge of the city and he hears that Jesus has come. And so he begins to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he's hollering as loud as he can. And after a while, it became a little obnoxious and got on people's nerves. And they said, "Hey, settle down over there. Quiet. You're making a scene. You're embarrassing us. You're making me uncomfortable." And so he said, "Okay, fine. If that's the way you feel about it, I just won't." No, that's not what he did. The Bible says he cried all the louder. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think that was loud? You ain't seen loud yet. He was determined to have an audience with Jesus because he was desperate. His desperate situation led to a determined faith that would say, "I'm going to get into that place. I'm going to get Jesus here. I'm positioning myself for a touch from God." One more, I'm reminded of the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and she had a daughter that was vexed with the devil and she wanted her to be delivered and came to Jesus. And she was using all the spiritual languages like the Jews used, except she wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile, kind of incognito. And Jesus read through it and he called her out. In fact, he didn't just call her out, he called her a dog. He said, you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. You're a dog. What are you doing?" Now, come on, most of us would go, "That's how you feel about it, then I'm out of here." Not this woman. This woman had a determination. She's like, "No, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I just know you're the one that can heal my daughter." And she says, "Yeah, maybe I am a dog, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So I'll take a few crumbs. If you got some left over, your crumbs will be good enough to take care of my daughter." There was a determination that she had. "I'm not going to let anything get in the way of receiving from the Lord." Lord, let our desperate faith give rise to a determined faith that will thirdly lead to a delivering faith. I love how this story goes on. She pushes through the crowd. Weakened condition that she's in. I don't know how she did it. All these people, you know, crowding in around Jesus. They're on their way to Jairus' house. And somebody had probably said to her, hey, you're too late. Jesus is already on his way to Jairus' house to heal her daughter. He was going to end up raising her from the dead. But she wasn't going to take, I'm too late. No, I'm here. And I'm going to get what I came after. She was determined. And that determination led to her deliverance. It led to her healing. The Bible says that when she touched the garment of Jesus, the King James says straightway. It means immediately. Immediately, it says, she felt in her body. She felt the touch of God. And the fountain of the issue of blood dried up. Immediately, 12 years of doing everything she could do, going everywhere she could go, and she had got nothing but this one touch. As she positioned herself with a desperate faith and a determined faith, she got the deliverance and the healing that she was looking for in an instant in time. You think it was worth it then? Oh yeah, it was. But it's also interesting to see the response of Jesus, because Jesus stops in his tracks. And he turns around and he says, who touched me? And it's kind of humorous. I mean, the disciples' response to Jesus, it's kind of like, hey, dude, are you kidding? You playing games with us? I mean, there's a crowd of people around you. What do you mean, who touched me? Aren't you being a little feely touchy today? Now Jesus said, no. I didn't say who touched me. I said who touched me. I didn't say who brushed against me. I didn't say who accidentally bumped into me. No. Somebody touched me, he said, because I felt something. The woman felt something. She knew something. Jesus felt something. He knew something. He says, I felt virtue. I felt the power of God release out of me and flow into somebody. Somebody just got their healing. The lady's a bit embarrassed because remember, according to Levitical law, she's not even supposed to be there. And maybe she's thinking this guy being a rabbi, a spiritual leader, he's going to call her out and maybe she's going to get even more embarrassed, but and at some point, she's just kind of like, but I got my healing. That's what I came after anyhow. And finally, she said, yeah, it was me. And she tells the story. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Now, I want you to catch this. Because she could have said, Jesus has already got his attention on somebody else. And it's too late. The crowd's too big. She could have made excuses like the guy at the Pool of Bethesda did, but she didn't. She could have thought, you know, I just turn around and go. But no, she touched Jesus. I want you to get this. Jesus doesn't have his attention on her, but she's got her attention on Jesus. And the touch was a touch of faith that arrested, it stopped Jesus in his tracks. Pulled something out of him that she needed. I'm going to tell you, if you'll reach out to Jesus in a desperate, determined faith, it doesn't matter how many other people in the room are getting touched or not getting touched, if you're the one in the room that says, I got to have it. I've got to have it, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. Your faith can pull out of Jesus the same power into your circumstance that woman experienced that day. If your desperate faith gives rise to a determined faith, you can experience the deliverance of faith. Heavenly Father, help us to be men and women of faith who who understand, who trust in you, who know that it's by faith that we walk, not by sight. Lord, there's some people that sight right now is telling them it's impossible. There's no chance, there's no hope. And in the natural, it's probably true. But Lord, I'm reminded of what you said about with God, nothing is impossible. Lord, there's no impossible situation with you. Once you enter the picture, game changes. Lord, there's some people here today who maybe they need a physical touch from you. They need healing in their bodies. Maybe there's some people today who need an emotional healing. They're dealing with fear and anxiety and worry and depression. And they need a touch from you today, Jesus. Maybe there's some people here today that their greatest need is spiritual. Let me just talk to you first. If heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you know that you're lost, you've been trying to do life without Jesus, and your life has gotten nothing better but only grew worse. It's just not working. You've tried everything, and it's just not working. I want to tell you today, there is a solution, there is an answer, and His name is Jesus. And if you'll just reach out to Him in your desperation, if you'll reach out to Him in your place of being lost and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You did die on a cross and You paid the penalty for my sin. I believe that if I'll repent and turn toward You, that I can be saved and eternity will be spent with You in heaven. I believe that, and I need that. I want that, and I'm asking You, I'm telling You, if you'll kind of like reach up your hand right now, kind of like I'm touching the hem of His garments. I'm reaching up to grab a hold of that salvation. I'm reaching up to receive what God has for me today. If that's you today, I just ask you to just reach your hand up. Just reach up to grab a hold of the salvation of the Lord by faith today. Who's here? And you need to do that. You need to commit your life to Jesus. Reach up right now. Reach up right now. Say, I want to give my life to the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You're doing in hearts right now. Online, maybe that's you. Online, you know that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. That's what you need to do more than anything else. You're in a desperate situation. I want to tell you, we serve a God who succeeds in desperate situations. He wants to meet you in your place of hopelessness and save you today. Just cry out to Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Father, Lord, those who've responded in this place or online right now, I pray, Lord, that they would genuinely surrender their life to You and receive the salvation that is found in no other name but the name of Jesus. Lord, as they say, help me, save me. Lord, as they reach out and grab the hem of Your garment of salvation today, Lord, we know that the saving grace of God will flow through them and they'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We ask You to do it today in Jesus' name. And we thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, let's just celebrate folks coming to Jesus today. And if you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your life, our prayer team they want to talk to you. Find them at the end of this service. They'll be right down at the front, and they'll talk to you and share with you. But before you go, some of you came today with some needs in your life. Would you just stand with me? Come on, just stand. I want to ask the prayer team to come and join me here at the front. Prayer team, come on down quickly. Quickly, prayer team, come join me at the front. There's some folks in this place today that you need a touch from Jesus. Maybe it's physical, I don't know. Maybe it's emotional, I don't know. Maybe it's financial, I don't know what it is, but you need a touch from the Master today. And you're willing to reach out and touch him, position yourself. You can come into this place with all kinds of need in your life and turn around and walk out the same way you came in. Or you can come in with needs in your life and take the steps of faith that are necessary to position yourself to receive what God has for you. So I'm just inviting you, reach out, grab a hold. Let your desperate situation create a desperate faith that becomes a determined faith that leads to your deliverance. Father, Lord, as we close this service today, we pray for each one in this house, God, that you minister to us and meet our needs, that you help us, Lord, to truly walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, help us to see it before we see it. Help us, Lord, to dream about it, to see the promises in your word and to grab a hold of it. And Lord, to cry out in that desperation to you, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have your work in my life, your hand, your power, your touch. I've got to have it. Or maybe there's some that are here today and they need it today, right now, right now. Lord, I ask that you meet them at that place of desperation, that virtue will flow out into their situation right now in Jesus' name. And for what you do, we give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. If you have needs, come on and join us here at the front. We want to pray for you.